This is Doug Miller. To whom or to what are you as a believer gathered? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand to speak and to teach as truly and as honestly and as openly as the Holy Spirit has given us the ability and the gift to speak and teach and preach. And I trust that you will all profit immensely from what we are about to look into. We are in the book of Philippians, and for the last, two sessions, I have been laboring away in verses 1 and 2. Can't seem to get out of those, and we'll take it up there again today, namely in Philippians 1, verse 2. So open up your Bibles, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there and as honestly as we can put it out there. Now, that's what we do. That's it. If you were waiting for an encore, that's it. And we absolutely, as I say every week, we covet your prayers. We cannot function without them and without your support. And believe me, there is always opposition to a broadcast of this type. The world, the flesh, the devil are all against this sort of thing. And anyone who has ever been involved in a ministry of this type can tell you that. So we need your prayers. So pray for us. Write Dialogue down on your little prayer list. And we'd always love to hear from you. Always encouraging to know that you're there, that you're listening, that you're being blessed to answer any questions you have, to provide you with anything we can, materially speaking, and just to help you in any way that we can. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. I asked a question. To whom or to what are you gathered? Now, you remember last week I talked some about this. You'll hear people say, come down to our church. We've got a wonderful preacher down there. But you will look in vain in the New Testament for any indication that the Holy Spirit draws people to particular men or particular teachers or particular women, for that matter. The Holy Spirit draws people to one man and one man only, and that is the resurrected and glorified Christ. You will hear people say, we've got a great youth program down at our church. The Holy Spirit does not draw people to programs. The Holy Spirit does not draw people to denominational titles or to buildings. You got a big fancy building down there? That is not the Holy Spirit's business. Now you say, are you saying that the Holy Spirit is against all of these things? No, I am not. Wouldn't dare say that the Holy Spirit is against all of these things. We need good teaching and good preaching. We need facilities and so on and so forth in which to meet. Got to meet somewhere. We need programs, I think, that reach out to the youth and to the poor and to the disenfranchised. We need these things. But what is the Holy Spirit's ministry? That's what I'm asking. And once again, I direct you back to the Gospel of John, to the upper room ministry that the Lord Jesus gave, chapters 13 through 17. And you will find very clearly that the Holy Spirit's ministry in this earth, in this dispensation in which we are living, is to draw people to the resurrected and glorified Christ. Now, there's a verse back in Matthew 18 that's very important in this regard. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I want to say something about this verse. It's very important. It goes right along with what we've been reading and considering in the first two verses of Philippians 1 here. That verse is frequently mistaught, misexegeted, ergo misunderstood. Generally, it comes down something like this. We get a group of people together. We declare ourselves to be there in the name of Jesus, and he is then obliged to come into that midst based on his promise there and to bless it. Well, this is simply wrong. That's not what that verse says. Nothing even close. Because there are all kinds of groups out there right now declaring themselves to be there in the name of Jesus and opening their meetings in the name of Jesus and praying and invoking, you know, his name and so on and so forth. Let me just name a group and let me just defend a bunch of you and get on a bunch of toes out there. Homosexual churches. You think the Lord Jesus is in the midst of that? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Certainly not on the basis of the verse contained in Matthew 18:20, because that verse, the word gathered, is passive. It is not that we gather ourselves together in his name and he is in our midst or comes into our midst. It is that we are being gathered. That's the thrust of Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are being gathered, have been and are being gathered is kind of the thrust of the Greek there, the Greek passive. Have been and are being gathered unto my name. Now, who does the gathering? The Holy Spirit. You know, no flesh will glory in his presence. It's not that we come together and he comes in and blesses us and it was all our idea. It wasn't our idea. If you are saved, it is because the Holy Spirit has shown you the Christ, has opened your eyes to the truth of this gospel, and has brought you to the Christ. No man can come unto me, said the Lord Jesus, except the Father that sent me draw him. And you've heard me talk on this before. I've said it more than once, and I will continue to say it because it is absolutely true. The Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. And the reason Christ Jesus is in our midst is because we have not that he has come to where we are necessarily, but that we have been drawn by the Holy Spirit to where he is. And if you are being gathered together by the Holy Spirit unto the name and thus the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ is truly in your midst, what does that do to your conduct? I'm telling you, it changes everything. If you don't believe it, go back and read in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. After his resurrection, you know, the Lord Jesus appeared to some of the people there, some of the disciples, but not to Thomas, because Thomas wasn't there, was he? And the Lord Jesus, or the other disciples rather, told Thomas, we've seen the Lord and he's alive. And Thomas said, well, I won't believe it, not until I can see the wound in his side and put my fist in it and put my finger in those nail prints. That's when I'll believe that dead man is alive again. Well, it wasn't many days after that. They were all the disciples together again, and Thomas was with them this time, and the Lord appeared there to them, and you know the story. He said, Thomas, come here, put your fist in my side, put your finger in these nail holes, do not be faithless but believing. And what was Thomas's reaction? My Lord and my God, he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus in the midst changes things, friends. And if you are gathering together on Lord's Day with other believers somewhere. And if this is really an action of the Holy Spirit that has brought you all together in this place, and you'll notice I said you all, it's always a plurality, where two or three, said the Lord Jesus, are being and have been gathered, it's always a plurality. If you are there and the Lord is really in your midst, it will change you. It will change all of you, because the Holy Spirit's business is to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him up in our midst. And if you were down to some gathering and it didn't do anything for you, and you're not the least bit aware of what's going on, or if you were gathered together in sin, I mentioned the homosexual churches. I don't intend to mince any words on this. Those of you who don't like it will just have to lump it or go somewhere else, because I'm not going to tolerate that sort of thing. You are gathered together in sinfulness and in evil somewhere, and not just, I mean, there are other ways that you can be down there, you know, gathered evilly and unrighteously. Don't expect the Lord to be in your midst. But if you are gathered on proper ground, he is there. He is there according to his promise. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, let me show you another thing about the New Testamental pattern. Now, we talked about that. We've been talking about it for the last two Saturdays, and here we are again talking about it. And you'll notice here the grace and the peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testamental pattern. You'll notice the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned here. You ever wonder why Paul never mentions the Holy Spirit? Well, I can tell you why. It's really rather simple. The Holy Spirit is the one who is actually doing the writing here. The Holy Spirit is the one that is inspiring Paul, and this letter is Spirit-penned and Spirit-motivated, and the Holy Spirit, his ministry during this time period we are living in this dispensation of grace, he does not mention himself. The Lord said it. Go back and read John 13 through 17 again. He will not speak of himself. He is here to glorify the Father in and through the Son. Now, many of you good brothers and sisters out there, I love you dearly, and you are in charismatic churches where there's a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. I would ask you to be rather careful about this. Now, I've offended some others there, haven't I? Not trying to offend you, but I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is not here to speak of himself, to glorify himself in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Well, you say, didn't the disciples back in the book of Acts talk about the Holy Spirit? Sure they did. Sure, we can talk about him, but I am showing you here the New Testamental pattern. The Holy Spirit brings us to the Father through the Son. It is to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gets himself out of the way in order that he can glorify the Father through the Son. Now, there you are. So what do we have here? We have in this little book of Philippians, in the first two verses, a beautiful and wonderful opening. We have a group of saints gathered together in the name of and under the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by the action of the Holy Spirit. And these saints, this includes the elders and the deacons, or as the King James here says, the bishops and deacons, and this includes them, and they are gathered together to what end? For worship? I would say that's the first thing. For teaching, I would say that's important. For praying, very important. And for fellowship. And all of those meetings are talked about back in the book of Acts, and all of them are important. When you come together, there ought to be worship. If you are there really gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ and in his name, how could there be anything other than worship? To behold him glorified in your midst, I mean, it draws out worship and adoration and praise. You ought to have individuals in your meeting who can open the Word of God and who can teach it and who can preach it and can show you the truths of this Scripture. That's how you're going to grow. That's how, you know, other leaders, elders and deacons are raised up, through preaching. There ought to be group prayer in your church, and certainly there ought to be fellowship, coming together and being around other believers, those who are also, as you are if you're saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What else could, I mean, these meetings are very important. Now, let's just go on. We've got some time left here. Let's go on and look at some other things in this opening here. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. I thank God for those of you who are out there saved, who are gathered together by the Holy Spirit to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are and whoever you are. Thank God for you. You may not agree with me and some of the things that I've said, and you may disagree with me, but I thank God if you are out there living for the Lord Jesus and trying to hold to a corporate testimony of his headship over the church. Thank God for you. I am not your enemy, and you are not mine, and we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no denominational name under the sun that can or ought to separate us. Those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any time will realize by now that I don't think much of denominationalism. I don't think anything of it at all. Now, I'm not saying that to offend those of you who do. I'm just telling you that it is an artificial barrier placed between believers. We are brothers and sisters. And if you are following John Wesley or Martin Luther or whatever, or some ordinance such as baptism or the Lord's Supper or whatever, and you are allowing those things to separate you from other believers, shame on you. Shame on you. Our Lord Jesus Christ died to bring together the people of God in one, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and people, and we will be together eternally in heaven. I thank God for you. And Paul didn't say here, I thank God for those of you who agree with me. Although Paul, certainly, I'm telling you, had authority, and he could straighten them up where they were in disagreement. But I thank God for you. And he goes on in verse 4 and said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now listen, this has got to move you. I want to tell you, my own practice, I know some of you who are out there listening to Dialogue, and some of you I don't know, but I am praying for the Dialogue audience. I am praying for those of you, and most of you I will never know on this earth. But I want to tell you my absolute conviction. When we get home to glory, I do believe, meet many of you there who will say to me one way or the other, however it's done, I don't know, but you know, we listened to you. Thank you, brother. We prayed for you. And hey, I'm praying for you. And you know, without the Dialogue audience, we're nothing. We've got nothing. I thank God for you with joy. Do you realize what a great privilege it is? You hear me say it many times at the beginning of the broadcast, that we're privileged to be able to be on here and bringing you this work. It is a great privilege and a great responsibility, I might add. Got to be careful what I say, but it's a tremendous privilege for me to be able to come and speak into this mic and share the Word of God with you. It's a joy. And look at verse 5. Why is he, you know, he's praying with joy. He's for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. fellowship. Is that little Greek word koinonia? It appears in many forms. It is the word from which we get the word communion in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it is a word which basically means that we have something in common. It's the word from back in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter that the believers had all things common. Here is a word. What is it that we have in common? Is it our hair color? Is it our eye color? Is it our race? God forbid. Is it the nationality from which we spring? God forbid. The thing we have in common is our belief in, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by which we were saved and brought into salvation by believing the gospel. And we have this thing in common is that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And as such, we are unified together in an unbroken and an unbreakable bond. Now, some of you out there, I know, believe in falling from grace. I can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. The man speaking to you does not believe it. If you are saved, I'll see you in heaven. And we will be there together, not through any work of our own, but strictly because of him and because his finished and glorious work. And we have this unity. I beg you, get hold of this. It's a wonderful thing. And the next believer you run into, don't worry about his or her denomination. Just thank God for them. Extend the fellowship of the right hand of fellowship to them and say, thank God, brother, sister, I'm praying for you. I love you. Look at this. And we'll end up with this one, and I might have to take this one up next time again because we are running out of time. And verse 6 here is absolutely rich and pregnant with meaning. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why is this so important? Because I want you to notice what? God is the one who began the work. I did not. You did not. Some man or some organization on this earth did not. The work which is going on in you was begun by God. He's the one that started it, and he is the one that will finish it. And he has done all things well, and he will complete it and bring it to perfection. For those of you out there, once again, who are laboring away under this notion and this idea that somehow, boy, I've got to do this work and I've got to do it and do it right or I'll fall away and be lost and go to hell. Friend, if you're saved, if you have believed in and trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ, lean back and rest and relax and let him do his work. He's going to keep you and he's going to hold you. He can do it. You don't have to keep and hold yourself. He is the one. And, you know, you're not going to get to heaven and say, well, look at me. If anyone deserves to be here, I did. Boy, look at all the good things I did. And I worked hard to get here, and I deserve it. Oh, please, stop it. Don't want to listen to it. He's the one doing the work, and he will complete it. And you can count on it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.